Hey, welcome to the Weights, Wellness, and Witchery podcast, the podcast that touches on everything wellness from the physical to the metaphysical. I'm your host, Grace Elizabeth. I'm a certified personal trainer and a wellness coach who specializes in making you feel awesome from the inside out. So if feeling awesome is something that you're interested in, I highly suggest you stick around because, as I mentioned before, that's kind of my thing. All right, let's do this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Weights, Wellness, and Witchery. My name is Grace Elizabeth, and today I am interviewing someone who's actually a very close friend of mine. Her name is Scarlett. She is a Native American healer, a bruja, a psychic medium, and also she's the sexiest knight in all of the land. So, Scarlett, what's up, dude? How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me on here. I definitely didn't invite myself, and you asked me to be a part of it.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what happened. I was like, first person to be on my podcast, let me invite you because you're definitely the first person I thought about interviewing, and you're also my BFF, and I would never forget to invite you because you're like one of the only witches that I know, or I don't know if that's a term that you even use. So, and like, to give everyone a little bit of background, like, Scarlett, sorry, see, I still call you Scooby, so I'm gonna have a hard time, like, not messing that up, but Scarlett and I have been friends since high school, so I'm gonna do my best to, like, you know, not derail this interview with, like, random inside jokes and, like, personal conversation, but Scarlett is, like, one of probably the only friends that I still have from high school, you and the other one, so. I don't want to drop her name on the podcast. She hasn't consented. So, but the cool thing about the conversation that we're having today is that this is not actually something that, even though we've been friends for a lot of years now, we really have not had very many or any conversations regarding, you know, I guess witchery as it pertains to the podcast, but even just your abilities as a psychic medium and a Native American healer and all of those things. So I'm super excited to have this conversation and get into all this goodness with you today.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I mean, definitely growing up as a punk rock teenager, this is not something that I readily discussed with my friends. So that would probably be why you didn't hear much about it. But I can kind of like delve into my journey and like how this started and how it pertains to my life, if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely would like to hear like the progression of becoming a psychic medium, or I guess discovering that you are, you know, and like, at what point is it like, I've been having lots of these experiences to like, oh, this is something that I do, like, you know, so. So go ahead, just give us your story, give us your background. Let's hear it.
Cool, yeah. So I'm pretty fortunate my mom is a psychic medium as well. So I was definitely, you know, around this as a child. There was a long journey of me not fully believing in it, though, just because it was something that my mother was so into. I remember my first experience ever was seeing a cat that had recently disappeared. And I woke my mom up and I told her, hey, Ziggy came in the room. And both my father and my mom were like, no, he didn't. And I must have been maybe like barely four at that point. And I vividly remember him coming into the room and coming up and sitting on my bed. So, you know, as a child, you don't really rationalize those things. And it's not something you actively think about. But around that same time, my grandmother was really ill. And I remember the exact moment my mom and I were driving on this road in Chula Vista. And I looked at her and I don't know why I knew this or how I knew it. But I looked at her and I said, hey, grandma's going to die tonight. And my mom was like,
your
okay,
mother, man. She was probably like, she probably immediately was like, oh man, like she knew. She was like, god damn it, she's probably right.
Right.
because she knows
she
these
got,
things.
Honestly, yeah. Her first instinct was to get mad at me because she was like, don't say that about your grandmother. Like, she's fine. Stop it. And I remember like literally thinking, okay, we'll see. And that morning at like 4 a.m., she woke me up and she was like, get up, we have to go to New Mexico. Your grandma passed away.
Oh my goodness.
That was, wow. I think, like the first real message I got from spirit or, you know, a higher power, whatever you believe in or want to call it. Mm-hmm. I remember distinctly getting a message that that was going to happen. So that's, I think, the first I really remember, like a big moment. And then honestly, growing up, it was, they're just annoying. like it was to the point where like lights would flip on and off. I'd wake up with random messages that would have no real correlation to things. Kind of chalked it up to just being over imaginative or sometimes even feeling a little crazy. And it wasn't until I really got older and created boundaries for myself with these messages that I was able to interpret them better. Mm. But again, I had that resource in my mom who did it. So she was able to kind of guide me and like, okay, how are they talking to you? How are you interpreting that message? And it just, I don't know, it kind of grew holistically and pretty easily with me. It was never really like some big enlightening moment. It was just kind of always there.
That makes a lot of sense. And I have to say, I love reading about your adventures in your place, in your apartment or wherever it is that you're living now, that I see you posting on Facebook about your house guests that live there with you. Yeah. So that's, I always like, it cracks me up because you're always like mentioning David and those, and like it cracks me up. The dynamic there, I'm sure it has to be fun. How does he feel about, when you guys met, was that something you had talked about before, that like you have a connection with the people?
I mean,
with the people.
Every partner I've ever had, it's been a discussion where they kind of roll their eyes until things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, okay, so maybe this is real. I mean, my first like big relationship, who will go unnamed, he definitely, you know, wasn't a believer whatsoever. And it got to the point where towards the end of our relationship, he'd be like, there's a ghost in here. Because things happen so often around me.
Right.
And it's like, I understand also oftentimes partners of mine who are, you know, cis straight men are very left-brained and logical about things. And so it's hard for them to grasp the fact that something that their brain tells them shouldn't be going on is going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But once it happens so many times, like you can't deny it. I mean, this house in particular, so like the older I get, the easier it is to find out that things are true, right? Because there's Google. Like I have all the resources in the world to verify what I'm saying or what I'm thinking. So I'll delve into the story about this house and the spirits that inhabited it. my stepmom or ex-stepmom owns a house in Vista, and her house is super haunted, and I house sit and dog sit there fairly often. Well, about 2 years ago, I was house sitting, and there was a spirit there that was just over the top, like flipping lights on and off. I would get up and turn the light off and go lay down. And the second I would open my eyes, the light would be back on. I had a friend that was staying there who fully didn't believe in spirits and saw a full body premonition, like sitting at the end of the bed, like just gnarly, 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 gnarly haunted experience. Dogs freaking out, barking at nothing, trying to bite things. So one day I had it. Like I was tired of not getting any sleep because the lights flipping on and off. I was tired of hearing knocking. And I was like, I'm going to sit down with a piece of paper and I'm going to try to talk to them, right? So the first thing I get is the word Adobe. And I'm like, okay, Adobe. And I write Adobe down. The next thing I get are oranges. I write down oranges. The next word is rancho. I write down rancho. Like all of these weird words that seemingly have nothing to do with each other. So at the end of all these random words coming out, I also got the name Miguel. I scrap it and I'm like, none of these make sense. They're just giving me random words, like whatever. And my friend that was staying there is like, maybe you should, I don't know, like toss all these words in Google and see what pops up. So I toss all the words in Google and see what pops up. And the first thing that hits is the Rancho Buena Vista Adobe in Vista, which was a mile away from our house, who ended up being owned by a guy named Miguel in 1800. Wow. And I'm like, that's weird. Like,
I love how it was your friend that was like, I don't know, maybe they do mean something. And Google was like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah. I had it with my stepmom, and I'm like, this is really weird, but this, and this happened. And then this came up as a result of this. And she's like, oh my God, you're so good. I'm like, what? What do you mean? And she's like, so this property was originally owned by the Rancho Buena Vista Adobe, and it was part of their orange grove. So that's why I'm getting oranges over. And I can like
Oh,
smell the smell of oranges, all this stuff. So we move into this house, which is in San Marcos. So it's a good distance away. It's maybe, 15 minutes away from that house. And the first thing I say when we walk up to this house is I tell David, the ghosts in this house are a lot like Michelle's house ghost, Michelle being my ex-stepmom. And he's like, okay, anyway. And it goes
Probably
on
like,
for
look,
like
don't
2 days.
tell me that. I'm just trying to live my life. I just want to
Right.
live in this new house.
So it goes on for like 2 days. And I'm like, dude, Miguel, Miguel, like I'm getting the name over and over. Miguel, 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 what the heck? Oranges, the smell of oranges everywhere I'm walking. I'm sitting outside and it's like it's the same feeling that I get at Michelle's house and I can't place it. So that same week, I'm talking to my landlord who lives on the property and he's like, yeah, so this is the original farmhouse for the Rancho de Vallecitos, which is like the original ranch home for San Marcos. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. And I Google it and it was owned by the same people that owned the Rancho Buena Vista Adobe. So it is literally the same ghost. That same guy, Miguel, owned both places.
Man, I guess you got a friend for life. You've made
Yeah. Anytime something
that's
happens,
really
we joke
interesting.
around.
Do
We're
you
like,
ever
Miguel.
like do you ever wonder, I mean, because obviously that's like, way too coincidental that you end up moving into this house. Like, do you ever feel like there's like a more of a purpose of you being, having this connection with this ghost or talking to them, or if there's like an actual like more of a message that you're meant to receive, or is it just like happens that way?
That's a good question. I feel like when you're a medium, you have to be very intentional about the ways that you communicate. And like I mentioned earlier, you really have to set boundaries. So I don't know that there's some greater force at play, but I do think that I give them the opportunity to say things when other people might not. So like I very intentionally carve out times where I can talk with them. I carve out times when it's appropriate for them to communicate with me. And I think it's just kind of luck of the draw. I mean, like as far as like living here, like I don't know that it, I mean, maybe, maybe it was some psychic power that led me into getting this place, but in reality, it's like this was a really cheap, really cool property. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question,
I just
but
think that's super interesting. But yeah, that's awesome. So, okay, so fun question, or I guess fun for me to ask, maybe not fun for you to answer, but have you ever had any like scary encounters, or like maybe, got some messages that were not so kind or anything like that like freaked you out? Not necessarily not from these ghosts, but just at any point during your life, I guess. It's been your whole life, so.
So, I mean, the feelings that you get when you're communicating with spirit are innately scary because your logical brain tells you that it shouldn't be happening, right? So, I mean, the feeling in general can be spooky. It can be not what you're expecting. It can seem out of the norm. So, your natural response is for your nervous system to freak out and go, there's something happening that shouldn't be happening. So, in that aspect, yes. I also, I mean, beliefs vary. I know certain people believe in like demons and things like that. I don't. I think that there are good and bad spirits, just like there are good and bad humans. I personally don't believe that they can physically harm me or do anything like that. And I mean, as someone communicates with them often, that should be proof that like they can't physically harm me, or else they would have at this point. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely been people that were not happy to be reaching out to me or were not happy about me being in a certain place. And it just goes with the territory. You just kind of deal with it. Oftentimes we'll do people that work in, my kind of spiritual work, we'll do clearings for spirits that definitely don't want to be there. That helps. We're just kind of redirecting them to go to the light. I personally believe in reincarnation, so I'm trying to get them to a place where they can be, born into their next life and release the physical attachment that they have to whatever they're physically attached to. But yeah, I mean, there's good and bad people alive or dead,
Oh,
So
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it
there's
makes sense,
nothing.
right? Like people are people before and after. So I guess that makes a
Yeah.
lot of sense.
There's nothing like off the top of my head where it's like, ooh, yeah, that was really bad. But yeah, I mean, out of the hundreds and hundreds of spirits that I've talked to, of course, a good chunk of them have been unhappy about being there and me being there is even
Makes
shame to talk to
sense. I
them.
guess that's fair.
Yeah. And I mean, just like I get annoyed from them trying to communicate with me. I'm sure there are certain ones that are like, oh my God, would you shut up?
They're like, please, I can't listen to this song again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was going to try to like make a joke about a specific song, but I'm like, I don't even know what music you listen to anymore. So I can't put it on. I was going to be like, I don't want to listen to Sublime or Tool or some shit like that. But
no, same shit.
If you're still listening to it.
I'm perpetually 15. It's fine.
Yeah, though I think I'm sure we both are in some respects. So I do want to ask you. So, okay, let's talk about like your healing practice and any kind of witchcraft, or what are you into? What is that for you? Because I know that that's something that's like so personal and different for everyone who does practice. So I'm definitely interested in hearing from you what you're doing.
I think delving into that, like, I definitely have to delve into my culture a little bit because they do definitely go hand in hand. I am New Mexican. I am Genesado Native, which are detribalized, Hispanicized Native Americans. I am a Pueblo Native, and then there are also, I'm Mestizo, so there's Spanish in there. And my mom was adopted out of any tribal recognition, so it's really been like a big journey for me to reconnect with that. And through the years of genealogical research I've done and reconnecting with blood family and that kind of thing, we've actually discovered that we're like hereditary blood witches. So one of my like great grandmas and great aunts were brujas in New Mexico, and they were like so famous that they're in books about like local villages in New Mexico and that kind of thing.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it definitely kind of makes sense.
Yeah, looking at the weird... super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So in New Mexico, we have a very different, weird amalgamation of culture and going along with that spiritual practices. So you obviously have Spanish and Catholic influences. You have, you know, various native tribal influences, that kind of thing. So my spiritual beliefs are kind of a mix of all that, right? And one of the things to keep in mind with the Jenny Sorrows, which I said, the Hispanicized, detribalized natives, is they were a mix of hundreds of different tribes that were stolen by the Spanish and enslaved. So we have kind of created our own beliefs as a, you know, a big mesh of all of the tribes around us. So, you know, we pull a little bit of Catholicism involving saints. We pull like smudging and spiritual practices and coming of age practices from the Comanche and Apache and various Pueblos and that kind of thing. So I look at it as a really like fortunate thing that was spawned from a really unfortunate part of New Mexico history, where it's like I have this really cool mix of beliefs that I wouldn't have had if my ancestors weren't all mixed up and forced into this. As far, now I'm completely losing track because I'm getting all mixed up in my culture here. What was the original question?
Dude, there's so much, it's such a mixture. Yeah, I think, I don't even remember what the exact question I asked you. I think I was just asking you about your personal practice and what that kind of looks for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so very similar to like Mexican brujería, like the use of like certain magical practices, but then also we incorporate a lot of native things like smudging and clearing spaces and honoring our ancestors. So for me personally, it's a lot of ancestor worship, and it's a lot of being very intentional with my magic. It's a lot of mixing and kind of picking different things that specifically work for me. Like my mom was one of those moms where it was like, you can be whatever religion you want to be, but you have to experience all of them first. So I was really fortunate to be able to go to a lot of different churches and experience a lot of different practices of magic and like do a lot of hands-on things and kind of find what works best for me. So in talking about being, you know, Native American healer, there are a lot of closed practices that I can't really get into with specifics that I do, but a lot of it has to do with herbal medicine and burning and smudging certain things, connecting with my ancestors to try and clear whatever negative energies or illnesses you may have, And then as far as my like actual communication, I think that that goes hand in hand with speaking to my ancestors as well. Like, I fully believe that they are my spirit guides. I fully believe that my ancestors are with me every day. So I don't know. It's just kind of like a weird mix of cool things that I'm yeah. fortunate enough to be a part of.
I think then, that's... Like, Sorry. Keep going.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, I think that's so awesome. You know, for me as a white person with zero culture, it's very cool to hear just like that you're able to like really trace your history and your ancestors and your lineage like through all this ancient magic and rituals and everything. And I think that's so awesome. And it's so cool to hear about. All of that, and that you're so connected with it, you know, not only in practice but like, you know, by blood and through lineage. And so that's super cool there about. So that's all I was gonna say.
Honestly, like having a, you know, an indigenous parent that was adopted out of their indigeneity, it's mm-hmm. been a really, really big struggle to find the appropriate medium to connect with, and doing it in a way that isn't appropriative, because right. I am such a mix of so many different tribes and people. Like, it was hard for me to find something that belonged to me, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I can't,
for sure, yeah,
it's not like I can go to my tribal elders and be like, hey, what's the deal, because I'm not technically a part of them. Like, I'm this weird mix of different things. So it's definitely been and still is quite a journey to yeah. figure out, like, and this kind of, you know, goes into something a little bit deeper, which is like, there's a big problem in witchcraft in general, and this might be a little touchy for some people, but
oh no, really, let's do it. I was gonna ask you some touchy questions about that, since we're already headed that way, so go for it.
Yeah, it's super appropriative.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of what specifically like white practitioners do is super appropriative. They use white sage, which I fully believe, and a lot of other natives do, like, it's not yours to use. Mm-hmm. They call on certain people that like don't belong to them. Like, I've seen white practitioners of voodoo, and that just feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do that, you know what I mean? Like, there's white girls who have no ties to any of those cultures that are calling on these santos and calling on these spirits that don't belong to them. And I just think it's a real problem. And so I think if you're someone like me that doesn't like know your background, you have to do a lot of research. Like, it comes with a lot of hard work, so that you're not actively dismantling these cultural practices that people have spent a millennia trying to cultivate.
Yeah, yes, that is super important. And I'm glad you said that. And because for me, it's, you know, I'm one of those people where it's like, you know, I don't necessarily have definitely like any ties to the Native American culture. And like, there's so much, right, history and ancient magic that now, if you're like just coming onto the scene, it's kind of what everybody's doing. So you like really got to think yeah. twice about where did this start and where did it come from. And I definitely, especially when it comes to like calling on these deities and things like that. And if I personally am much more of like a moon child type person, and I don't, and like, as far as like ancestors and all that stuff, like, I personally don't communicate with any of my ancestors. I don't feel like I have any ties to like any specific deities. One, because I don't. So two, I have not got out of my way to like even learn about them. So I think that what happens is, you know, people want to start practicing witchcraft or magic or whatever it is, and when I say people, I mean like white girls like me, and and they see what everyone else is doing, and they kind of just pick it up and go, you know, like just ride on the backs of what these other white women mm-hmm. and girls are already doing, without taking the time to research and discover what it even is that they're calling on, you know what I mean? Especially if you're mm-hmm. like calling on like doing voodoo and things like that. Like, there's so much there that if you do believe in it, like, you would not be just like willy-nilly about, you know, practicing these things. So
I guess I had a question somewhere in my rambling, but I kind of lost it. Or like, what would you say? And I'm not asking you because I think that you're like, you know, like the expert on all of this, but it is a different perspective. Like, as you know, someone who is just getting interested, a baby witch, just getting interested in witchcraft or magic or anything. Like, obviously you said that research is a big part of it. And so what would you say is like the best way for someone to get into this without appropriating things on purpose or accidentally?
Yeah, the answer is super simple, and it's something that's overlooked a lot. It's just like, listen to BIPOC voices. Like, listen to Black and Indigenous people. That's all it takes. You know, like, I mean,
you make it sound so simple, yet nobody seems to grasp it.
Yeah, nobody. You're telling me.
I'm sure. I know.
I mean, honestly, like, the resources are everywhere. I stumble across TikToks that discuss it, and it just takes like a little bit of thought and a little bit of compassion to how you might be affecting someone's cultural practices. We have the world at our fingertips as far as research, Google. So it just takes like a very quick Google search to see where something originated and if it's okay for you to be practicing it. And I think that hand in hand with colonization, white Americans, and I mean, I'm saying this as a half white American, right? My dad's white. Right. We have a really bad habit of just picking things up and being like, well, it's mine now.
Yeah.
Whether it be land or
literally everything, you know? That's built this country. Yeah.
And I don't think it's intentional. I think it's so ingrained in being a white American that you just have this natural predisposition to being like, yep, that's fine. Like, we're all the same. You know, we're all Americans, that
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
So you have to be really intentional about this kind of stuff. It's super appropriative sometimes. It's hard.
Oh, I agree. It is definitely, I'm sure it's tough for you as someone on the other side of it. And then, you know, as someone like, you know, it's so hard for us white girls. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I mean, like, it's hard in the sense that like, in order to do it right, you do have to be super aware. And I think that is like, it's kind of like the lowest bar of entry. It's like, literally just look at what you're doing, research what you're doing, and figure out if it's something you should be doing, and not being reckless and oblivious, because you are dealing with magic, right? Like, it's not just like some willy-nilly shit to begin with.
Yeah, but beyond that, you're dealing with culture, and that's the important thing. It's like, beyond religious or spiritual belief, you're dealing with somebody's entire lineage, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing that gets tricky too is like, as a BIPOC person, right? Like, I do want people to appreciate my culture, and I want people to know more about my culture, because representation is like the biggest issue that we have. So it's hard to make that line where it's like, no, you can't do this, but yes, you can learn about it. Like, it's a really fine line to walk. I think that the more that people are becoming spiritual these days, and the more people are practicing witchcraft, like, we're just going to have to figure it out. And I think that this is going to be a learning experience for both Black and Indigenous people, as well as white people. Like, we have to work with each other to figure out a solution. But I think both sides have to be open to putting that work in. Now, I'm not saying, like, honestly, Black and Indigenous people don't have to put any fucking work in.
Yeah, true.
Because they've done enough through the centuries to stay in living, you know?
Yeah.
But still, like, if we're going to have an actual cultural exchange, like, there is some communication that needs to happen. It doesn't fall on the backs of Black and Indigenous people. It falls on the backs of white folks. But there does have to be that exchange, I think, for anyone to get it. That's not including closed practices, things like that, of course, right. That doesn't apply. But just the conversation in general, I think, does need to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, my brain is going a million miles an hour right now, because I'm like thinking so many things, and I'm like, what am I going to ask next? I do want to talk about, so as far as the any healing practices that you do, like, what does that look like, and how do you... I mean, you don't have to get into specifics as far as like how you perform them, but where does that come into play just in your life in general?
So as far as for other people, as part of being a psychic medium, like I'm also talking to their spirit guides or their spirits that are around them, whether it be ancestors or whoever. And luckily they're kind of a cool tool for me to figure out like what's going on. So they'll tell me certain things while I'm in a healing session. So it's not like me doing the work at all. I'm just a communicator that is getting the messages from spirit for that person. As far as the actual healing goes, like it's more energy clearing than anything. And oftentimes, like I said, I will use smudging and then other Native American modalities, which I can't go into because they're closed practice. So,
but, none of you are in the club, suckers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of it is definitely just ancestor based.
Right.
Yeah, so I will use that communication in order to better address whatever emotional or physical or spiritual ailments a person is having. And my mom does it too. My mom uses cards. So she does it. She'll use the cards like as a visual tool to explain what spirits are saying to her. But it's something that just kind of came like naturally. Like it's something we've both always been doing. And my mom was raised Catholic, like went to Catholic school, and she still always like had the gift. So.
So the Catholicism didn't wipe it out of her.
No, you know, what's really funny. This is kind of an interesting story. Raised Catholic, went to Catholic school, was married right out of high school, like typical New Mexico good Catholic girl, right? So in her 20s, she found an ad in a newspaper for a past life regression, and she called the person up. They told her to meet at this apartment, and she goes up to the apartment, and there's no windows on the front side of the apartment, and she knocks on the door, and the lady goes, "You're wearing purple, huh?" And my mom's wearing a purple dress, and she's like, "Uh-huh." And the lady opens the door, and it's a Catholic nun who rushes her in the house and goes, "By the way, by me doing this, like, you have to agree that you will never tell anyone that I'm a practicing cat, and here I am telling you."
Like that I, hey, you're not the one who promised.
Yeah, right. That I'm a, you know, I'm a practicing Catholic nun. The church obviously would not agree with this. Like, so we have to make an agreement here that this is what's going to go down. So a Catholic nun did a past life regression for my mom.
Wow.
And that was her first like real spiritual thing she did too. And the interesting thing is the person told her like, you have a gift to communicate with others. She like looked at her hand and she's like, and you have healing hands. And this is my mom, like, fresh out of Catholic school, like, huh, that's weird. Okay, bye. But yeah, it was a Catholic nun that told her
that. Wow, that's crazy. That's such a crazy story. That's funny. Actually, I'm doing a past life regression session with somebody, like, in a week for the first time ever.
So cool.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I have zero expectations. I just have, like, all right, what the fuck's gonna happen? So I'm very interested in what's gonna come out of that. So that'll be cool.
I fully did not believe in them until I started having them, and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I feel like I believe in them. I don't feel like I have no like any prior experiences that have led me to like, you know, like, I know that I've got some shit back there that, you know, but I'm just like, you know what, I'm interested. I know that my mom has done them before, and she's got, like, all these things, and I for some reason, like, you know, everything my mom says is, like, sure, lady, because she's my mom, right? Like, yeah, all right, you know. Lady. and then I go out on my own, and understand. I'm like, oh, I totally believe in all this stuff, but when my mom says it, I'm like, eh, so...
100%.
So I'm it's like there's this list of things that I need to go out and like experience for myself firsthand, because like so far all of what I've heard is coming from my mother, so I'm like, all right, but I'm definitely interested because I've had like plenty of spiritual experiences just throughout my life, and it's like one of those things where I have not like intentionally tried to dive deeper into any of that because I was so like turned off by religion. But from like, you know, when I was like 12 years old, I was like, all right, I'm gonna be atheist now, nothing matters kind of thing. And then once I got over that is when I started to be like, okay, so there is something matters, but I don't know what it is yet. So it's like,
that's so funny. I'm still like,
what? Yeah, why?
Because it like in my image of high school Grace, like you and the other friend,
the other one, yes,
we're so into going to church. Like I know that a good portion of that was to hang out with friends. I get that, and like not actually go to church. But you guys still seem so active in it, especially for me, like as a non-Christian, that it was one of those things where I would have like at that point rather not discussed it with you guys because I was scared. Because growing up in like Temecula Marietta, right. Like being like, I'm a Native American witch and a Buddhist.
No. For sure. Like,
my mom owned a metaphysical bookstore and we got called like devil worshippers.
Oh, like, I remember that. I remember that being a thing. Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I didn't think that you guys would have been like the most accepting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At 14 years old was like, and yeah, I was, we were going to church. We were never actually going to church, but we were going to church, and definitely still like had that right connection to a Christian church where we were connected there. And what was I gonna say? Yeah, and that was like right around the time, because like I came into high school fresh from a Christian school. Like that was like, I literally was homeschooled. I went to school at that church, and then I was dumped into public high school. And so I think like right when you and I met, which was like the second day of school, like I was still so much like, I was in a whirlwind of a journey. And like I still am, right? Everybody kind of is still, but 14, 15 years old, like I was very lost. So I can't say that I have no idea how I would have responded. I don't think I would have been like particularly judgmental, but I don't know that I would have been like, wow, I'm so interested in this. Please tell me more. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not definitely don't blame you for not talking about this stuff back then, but I can't say for sure either way. I do know that like at that time I definitely did not consider myself you know, a Christian, and I don't think that I would have been I don't think I would have seen you as a devil worshiper or anything like that, but I don't think so either, otherwise I wouldn't have been friends with you guys.
Yeah.
For sure. I think that one of the reasons that I was still going to church was because it was still like this expectation that I had from my parents, and also one of the only ways that I could go somewhere. And then like we didn't go there, like we'd go and then we'd go across the street and not actually going to church. But my parents would be like, yeah, sure, you can go do a thing on a Thursday night if it's at church. So like I had to do that. But yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Like getting in touch with this spiritual side and this witchy side that you have now, like do you ever feel weird, like pangs of guilt? Like I know that for my mom, like getting out of, and I mean Catholic guilt is a whole different monster, but do you ever feel like weird or uneasy about like the spiritual path that you're taking, having such like a Christian background?
You know what? That's a really good question. And the answer is no, I don't, surprisingly. And that's because all, like, most of my guilt, like, one of the main reasons that I, like, for myself decided, like, I'm getting the fuck away from Christianity and this church or any church, any Christian church for that matter, is because of all of the fucked up guilt that was instilled in me from Christianity specifically before I even had tried to venture out into anything else. So yeah. I think that a lot of, after leaving the church, a lot of my journey has been like unpacking that guilt and like unassigning it from myself, because I know it's not even anything that I have done. It was like, right, it was just like baked into me as a child. It was like, here you go, you're a Christian and you're a sinner and you're a piece of shit. Also, you're a woman, which means that you're dirty and deceitful and you're stumbling your brethren and like all of this stuff that like literally from like 10 years old, like I was a Christian my whole life, but from 10 years old, it was basically when they start really like hammering that stuff into your brain. And so for me, it's like my journey has been a lot of like releasing guilt and not so much of like, oh, you know, not so much of like any kind of discovery of new guilt as much as it's been like letting shit go.
Right. Right. So. Yeah, that's heavy, though. That's super heavy. And I think that takes like a certain level of emotional maturity to even, like, delve into.
Yeah, it's definitely been, like I said, like, since I was, what, 14. And, I mean, I had to do a lot of really stupid shit to, like, I did a lot of stupid shit. I mean, we all do stupid shit when we're teenagers, but I feel like I did, I like, fought so hard in the opposite direction that I just did so much dumb shit. And now it's taken, like, I'm, like, 28 years old now. I'm, like, probably in the past, like, 3 years, 4 years, maybe, but mostly, like, the past 3 years that I've actually gotten to a point where, like, I have any type of clarity, like, who I am and what I believe and anything like that. And a lot of that, honestly, I attribute to, like, getting pregnant and having a baby, because I had to really, like, sort my shit out, which is, well, like, a whole conversation in and of itself. But
I think that people, and this goes along with, like, wellness and witchery, right? Like, people our age with our backgrounds and our, like, demographic have had to do a lot of unfucking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we have had to really dredge through all the bullshit in order to become better people on the other side. And whether it took you getting pregnant or whatever it was, like, you did all that work, and you should be really proud and, like, able to recognize that that's heavy. Like, that's hard to do. It's hard for people like us with our backgrounds, whether, like, we were around partying and, like, all kinds of stuff, substance abuse, all kinds of issues. And we still made it out the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that you don't give yourself enough recognition in that aspect.
You're going to make me cry. I love you.
I'm serious, though.
No, thank you. And honestly, like, you too, dude. And not even just that, but, like, how I feel like forgiving you have been towards even just me as being a shitty friend in high school as I was, and, like, allowing us to, like, reconnect as adults and, like, you know, like, as the better people that we are now, experience a friendship that is much different than it was then. So I'm very grateful to have you in my life in general.
Oh,
so yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, the dream.
Yeah. The journey, I think, is, you know, I don't know. And, like I said, like, I'm still, like, most of my kind of witchery practices and everything is very much, I don't even know how to explain it, because it's very much just energetic for me. I don't have, like, I've never really experienced any kind of communication with, like, you know, direct communication with spirits or anything like that that I'm aware of. But I do get, like, downloads and messages. I have no idea where they're coming from. It's not something I've identified. Like, and then other than that, it's very much like I feel, like, physically connected to energy, and, like, I feel it in a different way, in a way that is kind of almost like a physical magic, in a sense, as opposed to, like, I don't know, what's the word, like, ethereal, or, you know, connecting to other realms. I feel like I have a unique connection to Earth and things that are physically here. And so it's still something that I'm, like, very much exploring and learning, because I have so much to learn. So I love having these conversations, and just, like, especially with people that I'm, you know, so close to, like you. And it's like being able to talk to somebody else about these things and hear, you know, your story and how, you know, what your experience is like and how you're practicing based on your culture and things like that. So it's been, yeah, I don't know. I kind of take all of this in as part of my learning journey, and also being able to connect with, like, my friends on a level that I haven't before. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, spiritual practice is just that. But I learn something new every time I connect with whoever I'm connecting with, you know? I think it can also be very tiring if you're an empath, which I know you are, because it can be a lot, you know? And it, like, going along with that practice, like, you have to recognize, like, when you're picking up on certain things and you don't need to be. You know, right. I'm one of those people that it's like I pass by a person on the street and I can, like, I can feel them. Yeah. And I don't know how to explain it, but I know you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, you feel their feelings. And mm-hmm. it's hard, like, day to day, even, like, partners, family, you have a kid, you know what I mean? It's hard to get to the point where you can kind of fine tune it and get it to the place that you want. And I think that it's really smart that you're doing this and having open and honest conversations, because you don't have to, like, suck all that in all the time. Like, you'll be able to kind of figure out, like, what your journey is going to be and, like, how you're going to use it. And honestly, like, it's something that I wish I had, because all I had was my mom, and she's an empath too, so we're just constantly we're like a sponge, you know. It's constantly soaking up everyone's everything.
Yeah,
docking.
Oh yeah.
And then, like, you couple that with, like, I have mental illness, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm bipolar too, and really bad anxiety. So when you're constantly soaking up everyone's bullshit, like, it's really hard to just function like a normal human being.
Oh, absolutely. And that's like one of the things that, like, my whole life growing up, I was always one, just ignoring my own bullshit as much as I possibly could, while, mm-hmm. you know, soaking up and taking on everyone else's bullshit. Yeah. And, like, that is the least constructive thing you can do for yourself as a human being. But as, you know, as, like, a child and as a teenager, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was just feeling crazy all the time. Yeah. As an adult, it's been easier to be like, oh, okay, well, I got to start by, like, first, I need to understand my own fucking emotions, right? Like, I need to learn about myself first, because then I will be able to differentiate between what is actually coming from me and what I'm picking up on from everything around me. So that's, like, that's been, like, the most, like, key part of this journey for me, and, like, obviously, like, the most helpful, because that's, like, the catalyst for being able to, like, actually navigate the rest of it. So, and I think that's something that everybody needs to do to a certain extent, right? It's like, be introspective and, like, learn about yourself and create a relationship with yourself to the point where, like, you can actually differentiate between what is coming from an outside influence, whether that's, like, emotions you're picking up on, or just, like, opinions and, like, ideas and just, you know, like, guilt was one of the things we talked about. Like, you know, is your guilt actually coming from you, or, like, are you just absorbing other people's opinions and then directing that at yourself, even though it's not even something you truly believe? So I think every human being could benefit from learning about themselves a little more.
Well, I think it, you know, really it boils down to mindfulness. I think that humans in general have a real issue with practicing mindfulness, because there's so much going on, but it helps you truly in day-to-day experience. It helps you with spiritual practice. It helps you with relationships. You just have to be cognizant of what's going on around you. And it's hard to do. Like, it seems so simple, right? But mindfulness is really, really hard to get a hang of.
Yeah.
And I think you really need to create a basis in mindfulness in order to practice anything spiritually, and in order to, like, better yourself, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
And
true.
I think it's something that has helped me so much, like, as a human in general, as a spiritual human on top of that, is just being aware of, like, my intentions and what I'm putting out into the universe and what I'm receiving back. Like, it's so important, you know? Mm-hmm. Even touching on the, like, soaking everything in and being a naturally anxious person and having mental health issues, like, I have to be mindful every single day. And I have to be mindful if what's happening is a trauma response, right? Or if what's happening is because I'm anxious about real reasons, or if there's an actual dangerous issue and that's why my body's responding the way it is. And it goes hand in hand with spirituality, right? Like, I have to be conscious, is this a spirit that I'm talking to? Am I picking up on weird vibes from this person because I am an empath? Is this what's going on? And it just takes a lot of, like, retraining your brain into being aware of things.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
I don't know.
All right. So I think I'm going to ask you maybe, like, one, maybe two more questions. We'll see where it goes from here. And then we'll wrap it up. But I do still have a couple of questions for you. And one is, like, is it even possible, but can you explain kind of how it feels when you're communicating with these spirits? Or, like, is it, like, literally a voice? Do they physically, like, impact you? Do you, like, sit down and, like, talk out loud to them? I don't know. What does that look like?
Yeah. So, there's a little bit of a physical component. Like, I definitely feel them, and I don't know how to explain me feeling them other than I'm just hyper aware that they're there. and it's something that my body has just become very finely tuned to. Like, I don't remember specifically, like, the first time I felt one around. It's just a feeling that's kind of always been there, how, like, I know that they're there. But as far as communication goes, the best way I can describe it is if you were to think of a movie you know really well, right? Let's say, like, Hot Rod. Like, that's the first movie that comes to mind. I can physically see the scene where they're dancing in front of the van in front of the convenience store, right? Like, I can see it play out in my head. It's a memory. I can picture it. Their messages come like memories almost, where even though I don't actually remember these things, that's how I'm envisioning them. And they give me kind of clues, right? So let's say they're like trying to tell me that they were a taxi driver. Like, they'll show me a series of different taxis. Like, it's like I'm having a memory of different images of taxis and then a person driving. And then I can put two and two together and go, okay, so this person was a taxi driver or whatever. Oh. Or like when I was discussing, you know, that house where I was talking to the people that were there, it's like I saw oranges. I saw orange trees, oranges in baskets, oranges in somebody's hands. So I get like kind of visual clues like inside my mind's eye. And then I kind of piece it together. Very, very rarely I will actually hear them. And typically when I actually hear them, it's after they have made multiple attempts to get a hold of me and I'm ignoring them.
They're like, bitch, yep. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I will audibly hear something. And it's very rare that that happens, but it still scares the shit out of me every time it happens. I'm like, okay, fine.
I bet. Yeah. I'd just like poop my pants or something if that happened to me, because I would be so unprepared. But
yeah,
it sounds like something that, you know, to some extent you're used to at this point. And, you know, not that it still wouldn't be startling, but wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be so confusing. You'd at least know like what was going on.
Yeah, but sometimes it is, right? Because sometimes it's like I'm walking past something and I hear someone and I'm like, what? And then there's no one there. Like, that happened on this property. I got home from work, I was walking past the trees, and I heard a man's voice say something, and I was like, hello, and looked around and sprinted up the stairs into the house.
Oh my goodness.
And then and I was like, David, like, there's somebody out there, you need to go look. Got a flashlight, there was no one out there, and I'm like, okay, well, that was fucked up. You know. And then like talked to my landlord landlord a week later, and he's like, yeah, there's this like guy ghost that hangs out in the trees out there. And I was like,
well,
at least your landlord
knows what's up. At least they don't think you're crazy.
Dude, this house is so haunted, it would be hard not to believe it. Like, it's scary.
Did they tell you that before you moved in? They were like, oh yeah, this place is great, you know, the rent's good, by the way, also it's haunted. But
did tell me, like, so I didn't know that he was open to this kind of stuff, because he's just like this little Mexican man, right? And I kept seeing this lady in my hallway, and I never see them either. That's the weird, is I don't like physically see apparitions. But I saw an apparition of a lady walking to my bathroom, and I saw her multiple times. So we're talking one day, and I'm like, hey, I got something kind of weird to ask you. And he's like, oh, you've seen her?
And I was like, what?
And he was like, yeah, Miss whatever her last name. He was like, yeah, you see her walking to the bathroom, right? And I was like, okay, yes, I have. And he was like, yeah, man, me and my girlfriend, like, when we used to get drunk back in the 80s, like, she would make herself known to just, like, tell us that we were doing bad things. Oh, and he was like, God. I've seen her all
like,
over the place.
She just shows like, up to be like, tisk, tisk.
I think she, because it's a house that's split into like a main house and then our two bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. I think she was like the grandma that lived in this two bedroom apartment, and then her family lived in the main home. I think it was like a granny flat situation.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, he's totally open to it. He knows all the regular ghosts around here. He knows the dude in the trees. We're good. One big happy family.
I love that for you. Not for me, but I love it for you.
yeah, it's interesting. That is.
I mean, it is very interesting just to hear like the different ways that, you know, how that the communication actually happens. You know, Yeah, like you were saying before that you like smelled oranges even. And that's really interesting. And I hear a lot about like perfume, you know, people will smell like perfume and stuff like that, but that's so the oranges thing. That's
it's pretty rare that happens with me, and it's like very loud spirits who do that. I have a grandmother figure who was a close family friend. Her name was Grandma Darlene, and she was a member of the Cherokee Nation. And she used to wear a fuck ton of patchouli, and she always smelled like cedar and patchouli. And every once in a while, I'll be walking around and I just smell like patchouli slap me in the face. And we like always joke around like, oh, Grandma Darlene's here. And it's very rare that happens. But on the few like instances that it does, I know exactly who's around. And yeah, that orange time was weird. Cause again, I'm not like, I'm not one of those that has a lot of smell connections that. So that was a trippy one. Especially because it was an orange grove. And like, if you've ever driven through an orange grove, you know, they smell heavily of oranges.
Yes, they sure do.
I want to kind of touch on something for anyone that has communicated like with spirit or feels overwhelmed. In doing so, like I had mentioned previously, that boundaries are really important, and this took me a really, really long time to figure out, because it can be really overwhelming if you constantly have spirits trying to talk to you. Like, it's really, really important to communicate with them that like, now is not the time. I'll set up a time, you know, at 8 o'clock tomorrow, whatever it is. I think it can really, really save a lot of spiritual exhaustion in the long run. Because I know a lot of like baby witches or baby mediums that are just like, oh my God, like they won't leave me alone. It's scary, that kind of thing. So you really have to like be, again, intentional about it. And like I'll out loud say like, oh my God, leave me alone right now. Like I'll talk to you later. And like 9 times out of 10, unless it's something urgent that they're trying to help me with, they'll back off and be like, okay, yeah, like I'll talk to you later then, you know? So I think if you are one of those people that is like constantly being bombarded by spiritual energy or by spirits in general, it's really, really important to be very vocal about the fact that like right now is not the time to communicate. Something that I've heard too, and I don't like, it has never been a thing for me, but I've heard other people talk about it, is if you cover your crown chakra and like your third eye chakra while you sleep, if you're having issues with those communicating to you at night, that's supposed to help. I don't know how accurate that is, but I think that's an interesting thought, because those are supposed to be your chakras that you're communicating with.
That
is
interesting.
Cover
it with what? Like you wear like a bandana or something? Like, over your head? Okay. Yeah. Interesting. No, that is really interesting. Well, what's interesting to me is like, I mentioned that I do get like, you know, messages and downloads, and like typically when it happens is like right when I'm waking up, and it's like an audible voice in my head. It's almost like when you're like in that, you know, like half awake, half dream spot, and you're like still kind of having a dream, but it's not even like an actual dream. It's just like a sentence or like a loud thought essentially, and then like when I wake up I have to be like, oh, what was that? And then I like write it down, and then I'm like, huh, that'll mean something someday.
I have a gnarly story about one of those in being in this house. So
tell me.
There are houseless folks that live like in the church parking lot behind my property. And they like sometimes I'll catch them on my property like taking cigarette butts or like oranges from the trees, and I don't give a shit, you know. Go for it, dude. And one day I'm like, I'm napping on the couch, and I have there's a door with a sliding window in the door, and that's my front door, right? And I'm napping on the couch, and I wake up to somebody very worried going, it's in the door. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it was one of those where you're like half asleep, half awake, and you like can't like get your grounding and like figure out what's going on. So I pop up off the couch and I walk over to the door, and in the window there was a nail lodged so that somebody could like break into my house, like slide the window up and open my doorknob. So some communicator, some spirit, some something wanted me to know like, hey, there was something intentionally placed in your window jamb. And they said, like, it's in the door. Yeah. And I woke up, and I still have the nail that was placed there, because I was like, that's important. Oh, and it was around the same time that, like, I had just moved in and was getting used to, like, all the spirits and communicators that were here. So that was, one of those. And again, like, I don't ever hear them. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty rare. So that was one of those weird little.
That's crazy. Oh, that's also scary. Like, someone was trying to get into your house. That's scary.
Well, so at first I was like, are they, like, is this somebody that wants to harm me? Like, I was, like, freaking out about it. I started Googling, like, weird practices with nails and seeing if somebody, like, put a curse on me. And then my mom was the one where she was like, they were probably just warning you, stupid. Like, somebody was trying to break into your house. I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, but, like, that's scary, right? Who's trying to break into your house? Okay, cool. All right. All right, man. Well, I'm super hungry now, so
I'm starving too.
But thank you so much. Like, this was awesome, and I'll have you back. Like, we'll pick a new topic next time, and we will do this again, and it'll be freaking awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Have me on anytime. I'm down. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. Like I said, thank you so much for coming on and talking about all, like, we covered so much ground today. I feel like that was really, we were all over the place, but it was all really good and, like, really informative and really interesting. So I really appreciate you being so open and just, like, so willing to talk about these things on the podcast where other people will hear it. So thank you for that. And also, if you guys think that Scarlett is freaking cool, which you should, then you can follow her on Instagram. And what's your handle?
Yeah, God, this was embarrassing.
I didn't give you could have changed it, you know, if I had given you a heads up, but I didn't. So now, which I think it's hilarious. I love your, it's so you. I don't think you could have a more fitting Instagram handle. So sorry. Tell us what it is.
Scarlett the Spiritual. No.
I was like, wait, what?
It's Brokehannes 666. So that would be BROKEHANTAS. And then the number 666. No, I'm not a devil worshiper. I just listen to metal.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. I freaking love it. Oh, that's great. Okay. All right, dude. Well, thank you so much. Go eat some food. That's what I'm going to do. And
all right. Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you so much again.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, dude. Have a good weekend. Bye, dude.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this conversation today. I had a blast, and I hope you did too. I hope you learned something, and I hope you go follow Scarlett because she's just overall a pretty cool person. And if you are loving this podcast so far, if you could just do me like the most solid of solids and give me a rate and review, share the podcast, follow the podcast, subscribe, download, all the things, that would really be so helpful, and it will help get this podcast out there so that other awesome people can find the podcast and listen too. So thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.